Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Ginn. Welcome back to Everyday Truth. Today, our intent is to provide real encouragement as we discuss a topic that seems to creep into every conversation these days. Regardless of what we are discussing, the recent hurricane activity, the economy, the division of people in our nation, another pandemic, the upcoming election, many people seem to be operating in fear of the outcomes, the future, the unexpected, and a lot of people that I've been talking to, and I know you have been talking to, Judge, feel emotionally drained as they navigate daily life. Fear is very real, and it's an emotional reaction that comes with mental and physical ramifications. So I wanted to start with a definition of fear from the Oxford Dictionary, which states that fear is an unpleasant emotion which is caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or is a threat. So while the Lord gave us this emotion to protect us, you know, with the fight or flight syndrome, that's a protection that the Lord gave us. It can also be detrimental when one is overwhelmed by fear. And it's the baseline in actuality for a number of mental health challenges and phobias and issues that I think can be very debilitating to people in our world. So, Judge, the Bible tells us to not to fear or to not be afraid hundreds of times. And so yet we fear for the future. We fear about what's going on or what's happening next or the fear of the unknown. And it does cause us to panic, to really think about, you know, what do I do? And that may be the wrong phraseology because not much is truly in our control. So the podcast is called Fear Not because we do know that there are things we can find celebration in, we can find joy in, regardless of the circumstances that we are facing as a people and as a nation. So I know this is a long-winded introduction, but I'd like to get started, and I'd like to do that with the first question to you. But before doing that, I want to preface this, that this podcast topic came out of just a thought that I had as I traveled recently to Australia, you know, over halfway around the world. While there, lots of people, when they heard my accent, knew I was an American, and the first thing they talked about was our election, our upcoming election. And they were in fear over the result. I'm not going to talk about who. I'm just going to say they were in fear of the result because the result of that election has significant implications for the world. So it's not just Americans who are in fear. It's the world right now who are in fear. Many people are in fear. So with that, I would like to ask you, you know, with that in mind, as an ordained pastor, you are a Bible teacher. You are the father of four daughters, which I think gives you lots of legitimacy and street cred when it comes to discussing fear. How have you been responding to those who come to you and share a very real fear of their future?
Well, first of all, Sarah, we're going to need to work on your Southern accent so they will know what part of the country you're from.
That ain't happening. I'm a Yankee.
But at any rate, this whole concept of fear is tied in with lots of other words that come to mind, like stress and overwork and just all of the different things that come at us at one time, that they're kind of overwhelming in a lot of ways. And it's not necessarily just one thing that occurs, although that could be the case, but it's the number of those things and the ferocity that they attack us seemingly all at once, that puts us in a position of fear or at least an inability to act, which is very closely related to fear. And I think we, as Christians, sometimes forget that we have an anchor in these storms. And I think that's the first element that probably fear is something that should be foreign to Christians. Mm-hmm. Not that it is, but that it should be foreign to Christians. And when we put too much emphasis on this concept of fear, then maybe that's not what we should be doing. I think we need to focus on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm. And you and I have been talking about we need to get back to the Word, which gives us that fulcrum to be able to, or if you want to look at it from the standpoint of a compass that keeps us directed toward that true north so that we can find our way in all of this. You know, Jesus did not promise us an easy life. In fact, if you go back when he was talking to his disciples about the temple being destroyed and he would rebuild it in 3 days and telling them about the Holocaust that was to come, and it did come in 70 AD when the Romans came in and really starved Jerusalem to death. And there was a great starvation of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Jews. Jesus foretold that to his disciples. And there was a very poignant comment that he made. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. So we're not promised an easy road, although some of the maybe online preachers will tell you that, you know, coming to Christ and having enough faith will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's just not the case. That's not what we've been promised. So we need to get over that, first of all, to say, okay, just because I'm a Christian does not mean that life is going to be stupendous all the time. In fact, it probably means the other. The difference is, Sarah, as we talk about these things, what we need to realize is that our circumstances as Christians may not change. In fact, they may get worse because we are Christians. But the reality is that we're not set alone against those circumstances. And I think that's what we forget sometimes, is that we have that stable rock in our lives, and that when these fears come, and they will come, I have them in my life. Anybody that tells you they don't have fears or stresses, or they don't wake up in the middle of the night thinking about some things that they've got to do the next day or whatever, just stress points in their lives, we need to focus on who our rock is and return to that vision of Jesus Christ as our solid rock and as our Savior, not only in times to come, but in our daily lives as well.
You know, as you talk about sort of the habits or some of the things to do, I think the distraction of the upcoming election, the distraction of the tragedies we've had with the natural disasters, the distraction of even trying to balance our own checkbooks, because it is costing us. It's very costly to live right now in our world. There's so many things that are pulling at our attention, our time and attention. But God's given us so many verses in the Bible, in His Word, to strengthen us. You know, He tells us in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. And He says, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I mean, think about this. If we truly are standing on the rock, we are going to, yes, experience trials and tribulations. It tells us in James 1 we're going to experience trials and tribulations. But we also know that the Lord promises never to forsake us, never to leave us, and that He will see us through those circumstances. The challenge is that we have to really believe that. We have to live that out and believe it day by day, especially when you see things taking place that are scary, they're disturbing, we don't know. But, you know, I think that these recent tragedies, which took place, you know, very close to our home, you know, 2 hours from here in the mountains of North Carolina.
About 30 seconds from my house.
30 seconds from your house. So really close to home. These things have shown us that we really are not in control of much, but we are held in the hand of the one who is in control. And so regardless of the circumstance, we can lean into that. So, but how do we do that? What's the how-to? What's the call to action on this? Well, I think most importantly, like you said, it's to get into the Word of God. Make it a daily practice. Because in the times ahead, as this world is being shaken, which it is, we are going to have that practice, that habitual practice of going to the Lord and being filled with spiritual food to make it through. Now, we don't want to jump into that because we haven't done it, but we're teetering on the edge of mental disaster ourselves. That's not the time to jump into making this habit. It's like brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth before getting the cavity, not when you have a mouthful of cavities. It's already too late. So part of what we really want to do through this podcast is to assure our listening audience ways for them to strengthen their resolve, their peace, and hone in on what it will take to keep their peace and to keep steadfast in the times of trial and tribulation. Because Jesus did promise us that.
He didn't promise us comfort. He promised us trial and tribulation. They're coming from outside forces. We see that taking place. And regardless of who wins the election.
Some of them satanic.
Some of them, well, I would say many satanic.
Some of my own doing. I create a lot of my own stresses.
That's true as well. We can't blame everything on Satan. We do have to blame many things that happen, the consequences to our choices, most certainly. But, you know, we also have the gift of repentance. We can go to the Lord and repent. David did that. He was a great repenter. Repentance is certainly one of those tools. So tell us, Bill, give us some ideas. Give us a few tips. What can we tell our listening audience? What are some of the things that they can start doing now as they prepare? I call it their go bag, their spiritual go bag, to prepare for what's coming, regardless of who wins the election, regardless of the shaking that's taking place. We can stand firm and strong and steadfast. So give us some tips.
Well, you know, Scripture also, Jesus says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's clearly should be our first turn. And he also said in Revelation and in other places, I am the first and I'm the last. There's nobody before me. There's nobody after me. So if you need that constant in your life, mm-hmm. that's what we need to remember. And as Christians, there's three things that I focused on really today in the second chapter of Revelation. One was remember. Remember that relationship that you have with Jesus.
Amen.
Remember when that relationship was close, where you could feel His heartbeat,
Amen.
and you were intimately in love with Jesus. That's what we need to remember. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we need to repent, because Jesus is not the one that's moved. We are not stressed because Jesus has moved away from us. We are stressed because we've moved away from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is we got to return. We got to return to that relationship. Now, how do you do that? I mean, that's easy for a theologian to say, you know, you got to remember, repent, return. That's easy. But I think it's hard work. I think that on our part, because it's just like a marriage relationship. If you don't put the work into the marriage is not going to be a good marriage. And so in our relationship with Jesus, He's there constantly. He's not the one that moves. And so we have to continually gauge ourselves to make sure that we're close to Jesus. We do that, first of all, by getting into His Scripture. Mm-hmm. His Word for us today will tell us, just like we have these various verses to don't fear, bring your cares to me, cast your cares upon me, over and over again. We also have admonitions from Scripture, as we've talked about, that says, you know, if you're fearing, it may be a sin if you're fearing, mm-hmm. because I've told you that I'm all you ever need, but you're not depending on that. And then we've also got not only to get back into Scripture to find out what God has to say for us, whether, you know, whatever it is, but we also have to be in communion with Him through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a discipline that, you know, it's not to not just come and say grace over a meal or you know, give Him 5 minutes of time. I mean, it's an agonizing thing of an attempt to do that. We have to also, I think, the Holy Spirit, I don't want to get into all sorts of ramifications with the Holy Spirit in this conversation. It's not the appropriate time to do it. But I think the Holy Spirit's kind of like a filling station sometimes. We need to the old days when you'd go into a filling station, there actually was an attendant there to put gas, and you say, fill it up, you know. And we need to do that with the Holy Spirit. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and help us through the day that we're getting ready to meet, because we don't know what our day is going to be like. I certainly didn't know on September 27th what I was going to wake up to in the mountains of Western North Carolina. But I would say to you that even with the destruction that's all around us, I can point you to person after person after person who is a believer who was calm and steadfast in that whole thing. And the Lord worked through the disaster that occurred, even amongst those who suffered the most, a lot of damage. You don't know how many people I would take stuff to and say, oh, well, yeah, I could use a generator, but so-and-so needs it more down the way. Take it to them. And that kind of self-sacrifice and certainly comes with our knowledge of Christ and knowing that He is the first and the last, and He's going to be there regardless.
You know, you're right. It's a battle sometimes because we have so many things happening around us that are distractions. And I think distraction and busyness, the busyness is actually the greatest tool of Satan to keep us from what really matters most. First things first. You know, a couple things, the way I look at it, I keep it simple. I give myself simple little reminders. Like, I just popped up, my computer sitting in front of me. It says, my ambition is to please God. I make it my goal to try every day to please God with my thoughts, with my words, with my actions, with my service, knowing that I'm bringing joy to the Lord and showcasing who He is through my actions. Simple thing. Don't always, you know, make it, because I'm human and I sin. But with that, we have the gift of repentance to go to the Lord. You know, Jesus told us to ask, to seek, and to knock. That when we ask, we will get answered. When we seek, we will find. And when we knock, the door will be open to us. So whatever your issue is, whatever your fear is, whatever your problem is, we persistently need to ask and seek and knock and not give up on that. Sometimes your greatest, your greatest breakthrough happens when you're not able to do it on your own, and you're like, I can't do this anymore. That's when God steps in and says, that's right, you can't, but I will. And He carries you across the finish line, whatever your situation or your circumstance needs to be. And that is really acting in obedience of faith to what He tells us to do. But in this day and in this age, we're also asking people to stand steadfast in the truth. But we need to know what the truth is. And the only way you're going to learn of what the truth is by making it a daily intake, a daily spiritual food of studying the scriptures, just reading the scriptures. I've said this before in a podcast in the past. If you take 15 minutes a day, you can read the entire Bible cover to cover within a year. And so, you know, sometimes you might read more, sometimes you might read less, but make it a daily habit to study the word of truth. As to me, that's the key. That's going to be the key that really outlines your true north. It outlines the tips and secrets of God, because He's placed who He is there for you to study in the life of Jesus Christ. Reading a red letter Bible helps you with His words. But also, I really think that it provides you comfort and gives you peace to know that you are in alignment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
You know, Sarah, when I was growing up, we had central heat in our house, and it consisted of an oil stove that sat right in the middle of the house and emanated heat everywhere.
You are a country boy.
and so, you know, every night we would, in order to conserve energy, couldn't pay the heat bill, but we would let the heat go down really low. Mm-hmm. And I know my mother would get up every morning first, as all mothers seem to do, and she would turn the oil stove on. That was the first thing she would do. She'd turn the oil stove on, and then I'd get up in the morning and my clothes would be laid out there so that I could go and dress by the oil stove in the warmth. And what I noticed about that is that when you were right next to the oil stove, you were warm, you were comfortable, mm-hmm. It was inviting. And the further away you got from the oil stove, the more uncomfortable you were. Mm, yeah. And so that's kind of the way it is with our relationship to Jesus. We need to be close to His heart. We need to hear His heartbeat. That's where we need to be living in times of stress. And, you know, I think about those early Christians, in particular, and still Christians all across the world, who are going to their death singing praises to Jesus. Mm. I don't know how that occurs. I really don't. But I think that's the kind of faith that we need.
Amen. Amen. So as we wrap up this this session on do not fear, we know that people listening have got fears in their heart and in things that could actually be debilitating, fears about what's happening with the election. And this is another reason why I wanted to post this before the election, because I believe the upcoming election, so many people are riding on that. But here's the deal. Regardless of who wins, we have a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who is presiding over the events taking place within our nation. We have a true North individual, person who is alive, Jesus Christ is alive, that we can go to with our worst fears, with everything happening inside of us. He tells us to cast our burdens on Him, just like you said before. So I would like you to close this session up in prayer for everyone who's listening, in prayer for those who might be experiencing just a fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fears that may be debilitating them, that's holding them back from having the joy and peace that Christ died to give us. And so would you end us in a word of prayer?
Let me add one thing to it before I do, or
sure.
A couple of things. Number one, all those things that we fear that are going to happen, Jesus already is there.
Yes.
In the future. Jesus is not going to have to wake up on November 6th and check on Fox News to see who won the election.
Amen.
So regardless of who that is, regardless of whether the things that we worry about, and quite honestly, most of the things I worry about never occur, honestly. But there are things we all know that do occur. But Jesus knows them before they happen. He knows where our heart is, and we need to be honest with Jesus. He knows when we're hurting. So why not tell him you're hurting? Why not tell him you're angry? Mm. Talk to him honestly and ask him for help in those things. But I know our world is hurting, and so let's pray.
Amen.
So, Father, we just give you thanks, first of all, that you are a good God and that you want for us those best things that that can be given to us, those good gifts, which are just epitomized in our life to come, that you've promised us to be with you forever in eternity. And we look forward to that day, Father, when we rest in your bosom in paradise. But Father, as we know, so many people are hurting. There's sickness, there's death, there's anxiety over the coming election, there's anxiety over material possessions, all of which is passing away if we are your children. And so, Father, I just pray for a re-energizing of love for you amongst your people, particularly in America. Help us turn our hearts towards you, to worship you as the one and only God, and to put our faith and hope in you. And as we do that, Father, we ask for your guidance and your presence in our daily lives as we meander through all of the times and the troubles that seem to pervade our lives. We just pray for your presence and walk with us. And sometimes, Father, would you just carry us as we go through the most precarious parts? And we give you this day, we give you our lives, and we give you our futures, and we do it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.